Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out.
Folks, welcome back to the John Solomon Reports podcast. I'm your guest host, Ben Whedon, and I'm the evening editor here at Just the News. Happy Friday. This is going to be my last day with you before John returns to the program. Today, we're going to be talking to a former special operations director with the Drug Enforcement Administration. There's border security legislation on the House floor. It's expected to come to a vote later this week. We'll be talking about any prospects this has for passing and any potential it may have to curb both the ongoing surge in illegal crossings and the drug trafficking operations at the border. We'll get into the details of that right after this break.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, folks, welcome back from the break. I'm here with Derek Maltz Sr. He's the former Special Operations Director with the Drug Enforcement Administration. Director, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you've been outspoken about the situation at the southern border, particularly with respect to the drug trafficking and the fentanyl crisis. Well, the man many people consider responsible for that situation, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, was potentially going to face trial this week, but the Senate voted to scuttle the whole effort. The House had impeached him earlier this year on 2 articles, essentially alleging that he hadn't done his job at all, and the Senate decided, we don't really want to take the time to do this. We're going to say no. This is just a illegitimate and largely partisan indictment. Your reaction?
Well, I'm pretty disgusted about it because I work with families from around America who are burying their loved ones that are very young on a historic level. And it's hard to accept the fact that there's no accountability on the secretary when he's lying to America when he says he has operational control of the border. The border is a disaster. We've never had this in the history of the country. We have more unknown criminals and terrorists and bad guys around the world coming into America, and our cities are imploding. The cost to every American taxpayer is increasing for everything. I think he needs to be held accountable, and I just can't understand the politics involved when we're talking about national security of all Americans. It's just hard to imagine. You just look at the Chinese. They're coming in at record levels, over 4,000 Chinese nationals a month for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. And we've never seen this level of illegal Chinese coming into the country. Then they get in here, they set up grow operations with marijuana, and they're producing very high THC marijuana, harming American citizens. They're working with the cartels. They're doing the money laundering. The fentanyl is killing at record levels. And we're given the opportunity for the cartels to work with impunity as they make billions from the human trafficking and the sex trafficking at the border. It's disgusting.
So how much of that do you actually attribute to Mayorkas himself? You know, there were many critics of the impeachment effort saying that it's largely him following the direction of President Joe Biden, and that even if there had been accountability or the removal of him, he would have simply appointed or left an acting personnel who would have done essentially the same thing.
Right. So that's a great question. I am not an impeachment expert, and certainly, you know, everything starts at the top, right? So the president has an agenda. It's a political agenda. It certainly isn't an agenda to keep Americans safe, which is the first job of government. But obviously, Secretary Mayorkas is doing what the boss wants done. So as far as I'm concerned, they both should be held accountable, okay? And let's just look at the facts. The facts are really simple. We're losing Americans at a historic level. We have this relationship between our number one enemy, China, working with the Mexican cartels, creating the worst death crisis we've ever seen, killing our future generation, destroying families and communities, running the largest human trafficking, sex trafficking operations we've ever seen in this country, letting more unknowns from around the world up to 180 countries into our country. Like, something's wrong with this. Like, this doesn't make any sense to anybody that's logic, that has any logic and is watching this closely. So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, Joe Biden and Mayorkas should be held accountable, because we can't have a country if we don't have border security. It's that simple. And right now, I just see things going, you know, spiraling downhill very quickly.
So many Republicans certainly see the same thing and are, you know, hopeful about the possibility of addressing it, at least, you know, going around Biden through legislation. So this week you had the House introduce these separate foreign aid bills, and Mike Johnson added another border security provision, which is very similar to the H.R. 2. That's the security bill the House passed in May of last year that didn't go anywhere in the Senate. This is effectively the same thing with a few tweaks. And they're expecting on a Saturday vote. Any chance this gets passed? And if it does, would it actually address any of these problems?
Look, there's a lot of things that could be done right now if this administration cared about national security and public safety. I mean, the last administration just had a couple of very, very solid policies like remain in Mexico, and they stopped catch and release. Those two things won't cost any money and could be done immediately if the president recognize the importance of keeping Americans safe. Unfortunately, the current administration seems to have another agenda, which is all about maximizing the, you know, the votes for the election and for future elections. And so it's a strategic plan to have power and control for the rest of my natural life. And unfortunately, the Republicans are letting this happen. It's very, very complex. It's very, very sad. Because it doesn't really help anybody. It's just hurting everyone in the country. And people that are actually voting in favor of this, they're very selfish and they don't even understand yet, or they don't care to understand the magnitude of the threats that are coming our way.
So we had Congressman Glenn Grothman on the show earlier this week. And one thing that had drawn his attention was that this border plan that they're wanting to bring forward later this week is not attached to any of those foreign aid bills. And he had said that because they didn't do this, they refused to use Ukraine leverage to get this kind of legislation through and get a deal with the Democrats that you say, you know, have no interest in dealing with this. They've basically lost all chance of doing anything in the face of the administration until November. Do you agree with that assessment, or is there potentially anything either at the state level or the federal level, barring a change in position from the Biden administration, that could be done until there's a turnover in leadership?
To be honest, I have no confidence that anything's going to get done in a productive way when it comes to the southern border, because people just don't seem to really care about the national security ramifications of not doing anything. I mean, right now, we have so much to catch up on. Like, if they pass something tomorrow, we'd still be in very bad shape because of all the unknown criminals that are all over our country now, trying to find them, trying to prevent them from doing, you know, acts of violence or acts of terrorism, for example. So there's so much damage that's been done. I've testified at these hearings, and I have just zero confidence that anything's going to be done in a positive way. I don't think Ukraine money should be tied to a border security. Border security should be number one. If you don't have border security in your own country, you certainly shouldn't be worrying about other countries. This should be a top priority. And unfortunately, it's not. It's really not. And it's sad. So I just don't have any confidence.
Certainly so. Now, I'd like to get into the details of the fentanyl situation with you in just a moment. But folks, for a moment, we're going to take a quick break. Be back right after this.
All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote. It's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they've also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews, to become a four-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home.
All right, folks, welcome back from the break. I'm here with Derek Maltz Sr. He's the retired Special Operations Director with the Drug Enforcement Administration, and we've been talking about the border security situation and the trafficking that's going on through those frontiers with Mexico. One thing I would like to talk to you about specifically is a recent report from the House Committee on the Chinese Communist Party that really looked into Beijing's relationship with these fentanyl companies that are producing these chemicals used to make this drug and how they're subsidizing domestic production with these tax incentives and trying to really push this material into a position where it can be made into fentanyl and go into America. Can you speak a bit to China's role in all of this?
Okay, so I get very upset when I talk about this because I literally have been pushing this out for over 7 years now into the press, into Congress, on podcasts. I work with thousands of families around the country. We had a rally in front of the Chinese embassy 3.5 years ago with families from around the country, Lost Voices of Fentanyl rally. And we were trying to bring attention to the China's role. Now, I was the head of the Special Operations Division when this chemical bombing campaign started around 2008, 2009. which is not actually properly addressed in the House report. I applaud the effort of this committee. I'm actually part of it now, and I'm involved in helping in any way I can. But what I would say is that in 2008, 2009, the Chinese criminals started bombing America with synthetic haptenones, synthetic cannabinoids. That's K2 spice and bath salts on the streets. So we had Americans dropping all over this country for many years from this poisonous substance that they were spraying on leaf material and advertising as synthetic marijuana. And that started in 2008. 2012, we had fentanyl coming right from these labs in China right to our citizens, and we started seeing escalation of deaths. In 2014, when I was the head of the Special Operations Division, we had an emergency briefing on our Operation Deadly Merchant because it was the first time we ever saw Chinese, Mexican cartels, and Dominican distributors pushing out substances on our streets where people were dying. Initially, they were reported as heroin overdoses, but it was actually synthetic opioids like fentanyl in this mixture. But what scares me, to be honest, is that then the Chinese started taking over all the money laundering for the cartels. Then they actually now are in a whole new phase of an attack. They're sending nitazine, etonitazine, isonitazine, metonitazine, protonitazine all over the country, which is much stronger than fentanyl. And they're also making xylazine, which is a horse tranquilizer that's not made for human consumption, but they're mixing it all over the country in the fentanyl, and people are rotting on the streets of America. This is like so obvious. We have a chemical weapon attack on our country. They're trying to destabilize America under the disguise of drug trafficking, and shame on all Americans that are not connecting the dots and are not putting it together. So yeah, I'm a little passionate about this because I'm sick of talking about it. I put out videos all over the place where the families are yelling, stop the death, stop the death, stop the death. And it's disgusting that nobody seems to care. I never seen anything so crazy in my whole life that the government is ignoring families that are burying little babies. Like the baby up in New York, 1-year-old kid goes to a daycare center dead. You know, kids all over this country are dying, and the government is just sitting like business as usual. Like it should be a national security, national health emergency, and it should have been declared several years ago.
It's certainly becoming a nationwide crisis that people can't ignore anymore. Just to give folks an idea of the scale of what we're dealing with, the Drug Enforcement Administration earlier this year gave the 2023 numbers about how much they actually seized coming into the U.S. You have 77 million fentanyl pills, 12,000 pounds of fentanyl powder. Now, the estimate of what that actually does from a lethal standpoint, that's 386 million deadly doses, they estimate. That's more than enough to kill every American. Director Maltz, you've been touching on this a bit throughout the process here, but can you talk a bit about this, the human impact, specifically your work with Lost Voices of Fentanyl, the kind of things you've seen and what this does to people on a more individual and local level?
So let me just go back to your statistic real quick. So the DEA administrator also pushes out a statistic that's very alarming. 7 out of 10 pills that they've analyzed in their lab had a potentially lethal dose of fentanyl. So if you do the math, right, almost 80 million pills seized times 70%, right, that's 56 million pills that would have been in this country that had a potentially lethal dose of fentanyl. Fortunately, law enforcement is out there fighting the best they can, and they're making seizures not only at the border, record amounts of fentanyl being seized by CBP, but domestic law enforcement is seizing record amounts. So thank God for law enforcement. But to answer your question, like right now I'm looking at an entire wall of dead kids, teenagers, white, black, Hispanic, Alaskan natives, Indians, like people from all walks of life all over this country. And I deal with their families, and they're heartbroken. But you know what's bothering them the most, honestly? These are grieving families that are trying to save other kids' lives, so they have to do the work. They have to set up nonprofits. They have to raise money. They are going into schools. They are putting up billboards. They are making collages. They are going to Times Square. They're doing anything in their power not to save their own kids' life, but to try to save other lives. And what the hell is the government doing about this? Like DEA has their one pill can kill, which I applaud them on that. They're doing a lot. and other agencies are helping as well. But the Department of Education, CDC, we can't even get stats that are timely and accurate. That's unacceptable. The CDC director should be fired. Why is it during COVID we had real-time, you know, stats on COVID cases, COVID deaths? Well, this is nothing that people even talk about. And we're not educating the kids. We're not doing social media campaigns. We're not doing really PSAs. We need a sense of urgency. So the families are angry. They're angry because they don't understand why there's no attention from the White House. Why are they not talking about this? This is the worst crisis in the history of our country. We've never had a terrorist organization ever kill all these Americans. Under Joe Biden's watch, there's over 300,000 dead Americans from drugs. So it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. So the families don't understand it. They call me and they ask me, hey, Mr. Maltz, why isn't the government talking about fentanyl? Why haven't they been talking about fentanyl? Why is it that this is just under the radar when this is something we've never seen? They didn't even know what fentanyl was, most of these families. They're also upset about that. They wish they were given an opportunity to talk to their kids about fentanyl. So it's really sad, and that's what keeps me motivated, by the way. The reason I continue to do what I do is because the families have inspired me, and I know they need help. They can't get help from the White House, as an example. They can't get help from the Department of Education. They can't get help from CDC. The father, Jim Rao, buried his kid. He has families against fentanyl. He's the one that determined that the fastest death rates for Americans 18 to 45 is from fentanyl, because his analyst and his nonprofit put the CDC stats together. Don't you think CDC should be putting out those warnings? So the families are doing the work of the government, and it's also disgusting to me.
Well, it certainly seems like this is going to be a case of the public pressure is going to have to force them. And that may be a case of until it really becomes so pervasive, it hits home for so much more of the community. And it's hard to imagine it getting worse than it is, but that's certainly possible.
Let me interrupt you on that. No, it is already getting worse because we are so naive country, as the Chinese have now turned over most of the fentanyl business to the Mexican cartels with the precursors and the pure fentanyl. They have now started another phase of the attack with the more lethal synthetic opioids like the nitazenes, like I talked about before. So they're sending that stuff through the mail services. People are buying that stuff. They're sending the pill presses. They're selling all these other, you know, important, you know, precursors and other things to the traffickers that are making this stuff. We have labs in America now. We have pill press operations all over America. So those fake pills are not only being made in Mexico and being shipped into America, they're being made in houses in your neighborhood because people are buying pill presses and making their own.
Yeah, disturbing stuff. All right, Derek Maltz, former DEA Special Operations Director, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you putting so much effort into this topic.
We'll be back after the break, folks.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, welcome back from the break. That was Derek Maltz Sr., the former Special Operations Director for the Drug Enforcement Administration. He certainly had some interesting ideas on how to solve the border security problems facing the United States, as well as the fentanyl crisis sweeping the country. Also had some very harsh words for the current administration on their response to both of those issues thus far. We thank you for coming on today. And now we have some somewhat sad news to bring to all of you, which is that former FBI Assistant Director for Intelligence Kevin Brock has passed on. He was a longtime recurring contributor to both this show and the Just the News, No Noise television show that's on the Real America's Voice Network and also hosted by John Solomon. He contributed so much over the years, and we're very sorry to hear that he has passed on. Our condolences to the family. He will be missed. God bless him. Going into the weekend, we are going to be looking at the Senate or the House's consideration of the myriad foreign aid bills, as well as the border security initiatives that have been put forward by House leadership. There's three foreign aid bills, one for Ukraine, one for Israel, and one for Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific. There's also a fourth package that comes with a few miscellaneous items, such as the seizure of certain Russian assets to help fund Ukraine, certain loan convertible reforms to the aid packages as well, and additional sanctions. There's also a TikTok ban in that bill. The fifth bill is the border security bill that we talked about with Director Maltz earlier in this program. That is the one that closely resembles H.R. 2. It is not, however, packaged with the other bills, and it is quite likely that it will suffer the same fate as the prior legislation upon passage in the House, which is to say, languishing in the Senate. In all likelihood, we'll see some backlash towards Johnson from conservatives who are frustrated with the way these issues have been handled. You've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie already back a motion to vacate and remove him from the speaker's post. But we had Congressman Glenn Grothman on earlier this week who suggested that there's very little appetite within the Republican conference to actually remove Johnson from leadership, regardless of whatever they may feel about how these issues have been handled thus far. Everyone seems to remember just how contentious the leadership crisis was after the ouster of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. We'll also be keeping an eye on the campaign of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who just qualified to appear on the ballot in Michigan. Kennedy's campaign has been particularly formidable for an independent campaign, and he has attracted quite a following, especially from Biden's progressive detractors. The state of Michigan, in particular, has quite a few of those in the form of the local Muslim population, which have had plenty of issues with President Joe Biden's handling of the Israel and Gaza conflict. Polling data suggests that Trump is currently leading in that state, and he did in fact win it in 2016 before Biden swung it back in 2020. Kennedy's campaign has, according to some polling data, attracted quite a lot more support from would-be Biden voters versus Trump. It remains to be seen whether he could prove a spoiler there or potentially even hand the election. So we'll certainly be watching his campaign with great interest. In the House, we are expecting even more turnover as another Republican has announced that they will not be seeking re-election. This one is Kansas Republican Jake LaTourneur, and his departure makes almost 20 among the Republican conference that have said, you know what, we're about done. And that's roughly 9% of the current conference. The House has about, I think, 219 Republicans at the moment, so roughly 20-ish. You know, we're looking at a fairly substantive amount of turnover. Most of them are citing the dysfunction, but in the particular case of LaTourneur, he's made it clear that that is not why he is leaving. He has simply decided to pursue a different path. Now, I wanted to close things by thanking everyone for coming in and still tuning in. I do get access to the numbers and was able to notice that there wasn't a substantive drop-off throughout the week. You know, I appreciate that. I'm sure some have noticed, but this is actually my first time handling a podcast, certainly guest hosting, and I'd like to think that I've brought something to the table for all of you who've listened to be able to engage with the guests and bring out, you know, the kind of information you won't get just in passing. Just go into detail with some of these, you know, key issues that are facing the nation. So I really appreciate folks being here. John Solomon is going to be back, though, don't worry. And that will be next time.
At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.